Okay, so last week we were discussing how the seven qualities from the second perek, which a person needs to have these seven qualities in order to be trusted, and no person does have them. We said that Hashem is the only one who possesses all of them, because nothing can ever get in the way of the plan of Hashem. So we're now going to read on to the next part, which is called God is the ultimate and only cause. This is one of the main pieces of the Shabbat Tachon. Lots and lots of people who have never learned Shabbat Tachon, they come just to this part when they need it, because this is the part that leads into the amount of work and ishtadlus that a person needs to do. He goes on to explain, after the section, he goes on to explain why we even need human effort, how much human effort we need, what the reason for it is. So here's where it all starts. So God is the ultimate and only cause. I'm going to start doing photocopies, I think, again for next week. Ella. Simply, all the prior decrees of God that were in the foreknowledge of the Creator were decreed in such a way that they have direct causes for their occurrence, and those causes have prior causes. So this word, sibat ha-sibot, there's a great song about it, yeah. But the idea of sibos sibos, that everything is caused by something that was caused by something like... For example, my children came from me, but I came from my parents, and my parents came from their parents, all the way back up to Adam. Anything that you look at, every apple tree that you look at, there was one apple from the original tree, and the seed from the apple, a bird came, ate some of the apple, dropped the seed somewhere else, and that was another apple tree. And then that apple tree, so basically every single thing, when you break it down, like all the way back, you will eventually get to God. So it's easier to just take a shortcut, but... in a situation where someone's finding it difficult to trust Hashem, and a person's going through a difficult time, then often, like, if you do some sibat ha-sibat in some of the things around you, it's easy to see how Hashem has played a role in it. Meaning, if there's someone that you're meant to meet, whether, I don't know, to get this guy to help you, and this guy helps you, and it's all wonderful, you could just think that this person has helped you, but who... Like, how did this guy manage to get where he is? Every single business deal that this guy managed to do, or the doctor, every single degree that he managed to get, every time that he was able to understand what was going on when he was studying his course in university, every single thing has helped you get your result now. So sibat ha-sibat means that in every single moment, there is hundreds of millions of details that Hashem has been in charge of in order to make this moment happen. Now, Hashem is a multitasker, which means that he's making everything happen. He's making everything happen at the same time. The Gemara in Makkos says that if someone kills someone specially, but without Edim, so if someone murders someone, then he's Chayav Misa. If someone kills someone specially without Edim, then he can't be Chayav Misa. So the Gemara says, what happened? The Gemara says in Makkos, I think Hey Amud Beis, that Hashem places him at the bottom of a ladder, and someone else that has to go to the Ari Miklat, Hashem will put him at the top of the ladder. The person at the top of the ladder slips off the ladder, falls on to the person at the bottom of the ladder and kills him. Meaning that Hashem organized that this person had to go, so let's put him at the top of the ladder. This person has to die, so let's put him at the bottom of the ladder. And that's just one of many, many examples of how we see that Hashem is uniting all people into one. Yeah?
I don't know how to say it in Hebrew. Maybe I'm under saying it, but Kodesh Baruch Hu is the reasonable thing in this world.
Kodesh Baruch
Hu is? The reasonable.
Yeah, he's the reasonable. He's the reason for everything. Yeah.
I wouldn't know what the word is in Hebrew, but...
He's dangerous.
Do we understand?
However, someone who doesn't contemplate the manner in which the world is run, someone who doesn't contemplate the manner in which the world is run, someone who doesn't think about how things have happened, when he sees a change in reality, he will think that it is the new cause that forces a change in reality, and they're being turned from one matter to another. In truth, the cause is too weak and significant to be themselves the reason for the change or transformation. As we see, that a single grain of wheat produces 300 ears. And in each ear, 30 gargerim. Each ear of grain has 30 grains. And therefore, one seed is therefore the cause for tens of thousands of grains, or close to that number, to be produced. Now, like we said, like the seed of like Adam is still going. We're just somewhere in the pipeline, in like the middle of it. But every single thing that Hashem made, Hashem, like all the trees and everything, all the birds, all the animals, all the human, Hashem made it that we have the unlimited amount of potential in it. So he says that one single grain of wheat can lead into tens of thousands.
Does this like touch on free will, like what's traditionally spoken about, the fact that we're not no longer in control? But what way Steph says now?
Well, we're not in control.
I agree, but is this the source in the so far?
So
control is this, the reason.
So this whole book is explaining one side of free will, meaning the free will is choose Hashem, although it's, yeah, as in it's literally. But haftas Hashem kacha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol moedecha. That's the target, and the free will is, there's things that do us, that make us not love God, and make us not want to give everything to Him. When we realize that He is the source of everything, and when we actually sit and contemplate, now, you have to remember, this is the fourth part of Chovas HaLevavos. The first three, I mean, all of them, I've only just started going through them, so I don't know them all well, but he first explains the oneness of Hashem. And then he explains, I don't remember what the next one was, but he basically starts to explain about how the world was made, about how things happen around us, and then he's leading into this. In terms of the question of, does this help? So, as we explained a few weeks ago, there isn't really free will. Meaning, free will means, free will is not that I can choose anything. Free will means that there is two options in front of me, and it feels like I can choose between them, but I've been told by my creator that that's not an option. I can physically go touch it, which is what, the first time that happened was when Chava went to the Eitz Hadas. Hashem said, don't eat from this tree, because if you eat from this tree, then you will know good or bad. Right? Because until then, everything was good. There was no choice. Everything was automatically good. As soon as she bit into that apple, or whatever fruit it was, as soon as she bit into it, she had created in her own mind the distance between her and Hashem, because Hashem said, don't, and I see that I can. So if I can, it means that I don't have to listen to Hashem, which means that I'm separate from Hashem. And that was where the idea of free choice, so to speak, started, where free choice isn't really free, and it shouldn't really be a choice, but it feels like it is. And as we explained to you, that the real free choice is literally in every moment. It's not about the actions or how. Is this going to be a godly moment or not? It doesn't have to be a bad moment even. It doesn't have to be that you're going to think. But if it's not a godly moment, then
is God with you or not?
Yeah. God is always with us. Are we with God? Meaning that He never like teshuva is that we return to Hashem. Now Hashem never left from us. We are the ones that have gone away, and we have to go on. Go on.
So okay, just to make sure. So we do in Judaism, we have free will. Like responsible for bad choices that we make, and we might have in front of us two equally good choices, and we have to pick one. It sounds a little bit like everything's orchestrated.
So if I,
when you're saying it,
so everything, so everything, right? So everything
is a big change. Yeah, this is a big change.
So everything has been orchestrated. Even inside of the free will, we explained to you. I gave the example of I'm choosing now that I want to go to the Bahamas on a private jet. Anyone want to join? Do we all go? Now, that should be free will. I should be able to just do that. Why can't I do that? Because I've got limited money, I've got limited capabilities, limited time, meaning that my options have been limited, and within those extremely, extremely limited options, even how long I'm going to live, I don't know. You know, we literally don't know. So inside of those extremely limited options, then there's a very, very, very small choice I can make. That, as I said with my kids, so in my kids, my mother taught me this trick, not to give kids, to always give kids a choice, because kids always like to choose something, but only give them a choice where the two options work well for you. So let's say we're having pasta for supper, so I'll say to my kid, do you want pasta with ketchup and cheese, or just pasta with ketchup? That's his choice. He now has a choice to make. He feels like he's in control of his entire supper. He's an idiot, because he's not in control of his entire supper. He's in control of one tiny little part of his entire supper. So the way that Hashem does it is that Hashem is deciding for us what our dinner is. Inside of the dinner, He lets us choose if we want to use our time for Him, or if we want to go for sin. Now, Hashem created the temptation for us for sin. Hashem knew when He created it that we are going to always fall in for it. I mean, not always, but like when we're young, when we're under the age of 13, we don't even have a good part to us. We only have the Yetzer Hara, which is why kids, you know, when they're little babies, they just cry and cry and they want this. You have to give them everything, you have to bring everything to them, you have to change them. And they, so the kids start off that they're all about themselves, and suddenly they get to bar a bat mitzvah, and now you've got to start doing the service of God. And the whole idea of the service of God is to overcome ourselves to be able to serve God. We're now in
everything that's happening to you potentially could happen to you with or without you believing God is in the show, getting closer to Hashem. The same things happen, but the only difference is how close am I to Hashem during this whole journey, and that's like the choice. Do you choose Hashem?
Meaning that it's not so much the around us that changes, it's all in our mind. This is called Chovos HaLevavos. The Sefer is called Chovos HaLevavos, which they translate usually as the duties of the heart. But when it says heart here, it means the mind, because the mind is, as in heart, is a word that we use for the scent, for like the epicenter of something. So this is all something in the mind, meaning that the same things are going to be happening around us with or without this knowledge. But with this knowledge, you think about it completely differently. When someone, I don't know, if someone walks down the road and slaps you in the face, yeah. Now, without this, that person has just attacked you.
Is what?
That person has just attacked you. If someone walks down the road and slaps you in the face, that person has just attacked you. With this, you realize, hey, just a second. Hashem's involved in everything. It means that Hashem made that person, did everything that person needed, got that person, got him to walk past me right over here in this part, and boom. So it's easier to stay sat in karma, because then, instead of shouting back at this guy, you realize, okay, Hashem wants me to be slapped now. Hashem wants me to be slapped now. What do I need to do about it? And then you can have a conversation in your mind with Hashem about how you're going to process it, and you can leave that person out of it. When you're going into a doctor's office to someone ill, or you're going to a business meeting, or into an interview for a job, whatever it is that you're going into, the more you are aware that Hashem is orchestrating everything, even the words that come out of your mouth, every single word that comes out of your mouth, Hashem is orchestrating. Hashem is the one who didn't give your brain energy when you were born and just said, okay, you know, it's now on and let's just keep it going. Every single moment, Hashem is giving brain energy. So every word, everything that comes in. So when you're sitting in a business meeting, the person sitting opposite you is, or in with the doctor's office, with your wife, with anything, whatever comes out of their mouth, Hashem is orchestrating that also. So it's hard to live with this on a day-to-day level. If imagine every single word that you saw anyone saying, you just saw God in it. And people do have a choice to make, all the Rishayim hit the Machshamay. Hitler made lots of bad choices. He did have free will, and he used, but the free will was limited inside of, meaning that he had power. Yeah, but Bibi Netanyahu also has power. He doesn't use his power to go murdering people. So he had the power. That was what Hashem organized. Inside the power, it's do you want to use it for good or for bad? That is where the free will lies. But the more we think about this, and the more we understand this, how Hashem has orchestrated every single tiny thing, the easier it is to get through life, because then nothing really goes wrong. And you realize that, you know, the word that the Gemara says, that Kol Man Da'Avid Rachman on the Tavo, that everything that Hashem does is for the good. Now, I've been through many, many, many moments in my life, which to me, little me, didn't feel very good. But Hashem says that they were good. But that's just because I have a lack of knowledge. Hashem doesn't have a lack of knowledge. Hashem knows everything. I have a lack of knowledge, and therefore, oftentimes, things don't feel good to us, but the idea of the Shah B'Tachon, of the trust system, of the belief system, is to realize that Hashem knows much more than we do, and Hashem only wants to do what is best for us. And therefore, if Hashem is doing this, it means that for some reason, this is best for us. I might find out in a few months, I might find out in 10 years, or I might not find out in this lifetime. A good exercise for this is when a person is going through something that feels hard, a good exercise is to try to think back of, you know, to try to think back 5 years ago, of something difficult that happened, because we are always having, you know, we're always having challenging moments, and as soon as we get out of a challenging moment and we get into the next challenge, suddenly all the previous challenges seem like, you know, child's play, because it's like climbing up a rung. But if you look back at a challenge that you had 5 years ago, where you thought 5 years ago, oh my gosh, like, how am I going to get through this? And look how that challenge itself led to where you are right now, then it's easier when you are in a situation to convince yourself that in 5 years from now, 5 years from today, you'll be able to look back today and say, oh my gosh, this led to that, etc., etc. Like we're saying, sibat, sibat, the causes of the causes.
To believe in them. I think we said in one of your shiurim that the hardest of the thing to do is to believe. Believing is one of the strongest.
Trust.
Oh, is it
trusting is hard. So belief is a natural thing. Anachnu ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. We are built. It's in our DNA.
So ha'deretz ba'emunah lecha ma'amin or ha'amin ba'Hashem v'v'Hashem. It means we're actually building, and it's a continuous thing of that part.
100%.
You're working, the two options that we have, we said two options.
Working on the trust. Working on the trust. If we had a completely natural trust,
yeah.
If we had a completely natural trust, there would be 0 point in us being in this world. Why? Because we would never be able to sin. We would never be able to do anything wrong. And we won't build a relationship with Hashem if we didn't have it. Every time a person works in trust, Hashem has to come and test them. Avraham Avinu, the tenth test that he had was that he had to put his son up on the altar, and that was stopped. All Hashem needed, he needed to see, ki yirei elokei matar, that you trust me properly. But that wasn't even the end of the test. Avraham Avinu gets home and his wife is dead. Meaning that the test, you know, the most difficult part of this test, I'm sure in Avraham Avinu's mind, would have been, had he not come home with Yitzhak, having to tell his wife, by the way, and he was probably thinking about how he's going to do that. And Hashem took that ability away from him, that he doesn't even need to go to explain why he suddenly left the house so early this morning or anything.
And what happened, the consequences.
And that was also part of the test, meaning had Avraham Avinu at that point said, I shouldn't have done it, I knew I shouldn't have done it, he would have lost everything that he gained from those,
building.
Therefore, even after the test was over, the next test was to see whether he was happy with the way he went through that test, which is like a mind-boggling thing.
You have to have that option of the two things, to strengthen and strengthen, and at the end it's like unlimited. You still know the other option.
Yeah. And we keep finding new areas where in this new area, I'm not learning how to trust Hashem in this area. I know how to do it with this, I know how to do it with this. And then each time you get to a new stage in life or to a new stage in work, then there could be a new test that's created for you in this moment where it's Hashem saying, okay, I've given you everything good, like up until now. Now we're going to go through a few weeks, a few months, a few days of difficulty. And the point of the difficulty is not as a punishment, chas v'shalom, it's as a rabbit, it's for Hashem to say, okay, you know, it's like the, you know, I would never go to a doctor who doesn't have his you know, who hasn't actually passed any of the exams in med school, because there's no point. You could study everything in med school, but I don't know that he knows the stuff. So it has to be proven with the end of your test. So that's what the Nisyon is. So let's do a bit more inside. So I just want to start this part. Is it not apparent to a person's mind that the grain itself is too weak to be able to produce such a massive quantity? Meaning, if you look at this one single grain, sorry, we've gone back to, we said that a single grain of wheat has 300 ears, and each ear has 30 grains. So that one grain is a cause for tens of thousands of grains.
So that's the procedure.
So he's saying, when you look at that one grain, and you look at a whole field of wheat, this can't make that. Like the natural, without thinking about it, you would never come to think this can produce all of that.
You have
to think about it.
Yeah. Because the minute you see the big field, and your acknowledgement of that one field, on the spot when you see the big field, you already see the world.
Yeah. Similarly, we will say that with regards to the creation of human beings and other living creatures which are created from a drop of seed. Here too, it is apparent that the drop itself does not have the power to be the source of the entire person. This is also evident from the fact that a large fish is created from a small egg of a fish. Although created beings seem to have the power to change the quantity and quality of other created beings, in truth, everything is a result of God's will. The created beings that seem like the cause of the changes that we witness are merely agents that God uses for that purpose. It therefore follows that when a person feels stressed because of his financial needs and the like, or he overexerts himself in his effort to provide for himself, it is due to a lack of understanding of God and how he runs the world. V'tiridas ha-nefesh lehakdim ma she'eicha ha-boire yisale ula acher ma she'hikdim ula harbois ma she'himit ula hamit ma she'herbo. When a person troubles himself with efforts to provide for his financial needs or any other needs, to hasten that which the Creator has decreed should be delayed, or to delay that which has been decreed should be hastened, or by trying to produce many of that which has been decreed should be few, or by trying to produce few of that which has been decreed should be many. Regarding matters of the world, may kinyone ha'olam, mibli sabeib elkiyo mitzvah sabidasa bekibol terasa, chalishvas ha'akora ba'amitas yediasa, v'sichlus mehoven toivos ha'nagasa. regarding matters of the world, with the exception of those matters that are necessary for the advancement of observance of mitzvahs and the study of Torah. Meaning that for mitzvahs and Torah study, just keep putting in as much shabbos as possible. You can never maximize the you can never reach the limit of the shabbos that a person is put into the Torah mitzvahs, because Torah and mitzvahs is an infinite, it has an infinite output, and therefore the input that you need to put into it technically needs to be infinity. We're not capable of putting in infinite hours or infinite effort, but we need to put everything possible. It is due to his weak understanding of the foreknowledge of God, who knows and has already decided at the beginning of creation all that is going to be. It is also due to a lack of understanding of the inherent goodness in which he conducts himself with, in which he, as in Hashem, conducts himself with the person, because in truth, everything God does is for the person's good. So he says in a footnote here, if God has decided that a person will have something at a given time, it will come to him at that time without his need to worry or overexert himself. He will not be able to make it happen earlier by exerting himself. Similarly, if it has been decreed that a person will receive a certain amount of money for his livelihood, it is not in his power to change it. Any extra effort a person puts into his livelihood or other needs is due to his lack of understanding of the ways in which God functions and his lack of belief in God's inherent goodness.
Game changer.
However, regarding those worldly matters that are necessary for the purpose of learning Torah and the observance of mitzvahs, the person is required to make extra effort. This is because when it comes to the service of God, we have the principle that everything is in the hands of heaven, aside from the awe of heaven. Since God gives a person free choice regarding these matters, it follows that he can and should make extra effort in these matters. Yeah? So here he explained that the free choice that was given to us is inside of Torah and mitzvahs, meaning, do I want to do Torah and mitzvahs, or do I want to go against Torah and mitzvahs? But in our regular day-to-day, he's saying, you know, in work, there's people that work very, very, very few hours and are worth tens of billions. And there's people that work ridiculously long and difficult hours, and they come home with nothing. Now, it's not because high-tech is better than working in a farm, or I don't know, starting Microsoft is better. It's because Hashem decided for each person how much they're going to get. And that is decided regardless of what the person does. Well, not quite regardless, we're going to see that. There is also a mitzvah on us that we have to go to work. We'll see later in the chapter exactly why and how. But what's going to come to us is going to come to us regardless. And therefore, doing extra effort, putting in extra effort, is just a simple...
What is effort?
Simple waste of effort. So
I'll give you zero and then work out how much you
need. Another few minutes. I'll give you an example that he brings.
It's all together, the puzzle, everything together.
Bring you an example that he brings later in the chapter. I learned it last week with Reb David this
morning.
Reb David, I told you.
It changed my life.
For starting a new job, I'll give you this to take home if you could work to me.
I was working like 18 hours a day.
Basically tells you in here exactly how
both ways you were working, this one you suddenly worked it out.
Because
I worked it out, I'm working, you've got to
give you a particular amount of tools.
The added value, there's an added value.
Your service then, and have decided anyway, you might as well do something that you enjoy doing. Don't work with any people you don't want to work with because you don't have to. Because if you think, like, if a person stays in a job with a boss who like beats him up every day, yeah?
Yeah.
Which lots of people do, not physically beating up, but, oh, sorry, mate, you've got to do an extra 2 hours today, I've got this project. If you're working like that and you don't want to be, then why are you staying in the job? You're staying in the job because you think it's the boss that's paying you. When you realize it's God that's paying you, maybe you buy the boss this month, next month, you buy something else. You could just, like, so when, if a person stays in a position that he's uncomfortable in, because he's scared of the change, what I'm going to say to my boss at 6 o'clock when I want to leave the office and he asks me to stay till 8, and I'm going to say no, I'm scared I might lose my job. Why are you scared you might lose your job? Okay. You're scared you might lose your job because how am I going to live tomorrow? But if you think in the moment, oh, wait, just a sec, Hashem looks after everyone. Tell you about Hashem, like Rachman, like Mansa. Every single bird that, you know, the animals out in the, everything, everyone that's alive now is alive now because Hashem is looking after them. These tribes in the middle of Africa who have zero money, they're able to make bow and arrows, and they're able to hunt, and they're able to eat. How do they know how to make bow and arrows? How are they able to do everything? Hashem looks after everyone. Hashem gives everyone guaranteed everything that they need. Hashem is our father, and Hashem is our king. Hashem is our shepherd. We have lots of names that we use for Hashem, and all these different names all represent someone who is looking out for who is looking out and providing for everyone. And because Hashem is the source of everything, therefore when it comes to a job, when it comes, if it's something that's not great in work and it's getting in the way of family life or of spiritual life, then you can just walk away and you'll find something. Hashem will sort you out, guaranteed, if you've left it because you trust God. Now, it's a very difficult thing, leaving a job, but he does explain here that especially when you're choosing a job, how to choose a job, meaning that you don't choose a job based on the salary, because if you choose a job based on the salary, then you're thinking that it's the job that's paying this man. Hashem will give you everything. Hashem will give you regardless everything that you need. You've got to choose a job based on the skills that you have. So he explained, if you know, a smarter person needs to do, like, shouldn't be doing physical work in a shop, and a strong person shouldn't be doing like a computer sort of job. If he's strong and he can carry, then he should be in building. He explains everything there beautifully. But just to bring about the shtadlus, about how someone can do too much shtadlus, a moshul, I don't know if it was in the shtadlus itself, or I don't know if it was in the shtadlus itself or in the footnote. I think it was in the actual text, not in the footnotes, that it brought a moshul of if someone needs to draw water from a well. Yeah? So next to the well, Hashem puts for him a rope and a bucket. Take the rope. Go down and get the water out. Too much hishtadlus would be, I take the rope and I tie this end of the rope to a cow and I create a pulley system whereby the cow is going to pull the rope for me to draw the water. Problem is, cow's not just going to walk. So I've got to go get some food and I've got to wave the food in front of the cow's face to make the cow follow after me so that that will draw the water out. At the end of the day, both of these two people are both ending up with one bucket of water. But what the Chavis HaLevavos here is teaching us is that in every situation, it's not that these are two separate people. In every situation, these are two options that you have in front of you. This is also a form of free choice. These are two options you have in front of you. You can either do it in the simple way, or you can go above and beyond. There's people, there's people sometimes that for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and then they don't see their family, they don't see anyone because they're so busy working. Now, as much as they're working, the same amount of money is going to come in as long as they're doing what Hashem wants from us. As long as they're going to work and they're going to davening and they're doing all the things, the money's coming in anyway. All this extra, the person thinks that they're being so smart, I just thought this idea and this idea might lead to that. But if it's taking away from family life or it's taking away from the good things in life, then a person needs to realize that then this itself must be a bad choice. One of the other things that he discusses in the introduction, he said one of the amazing things about learning this this book, he says one of the amazing things is that you won't have to travel anymore for work. He literally says, because you will realize, he gave a moshul there of, what was it? Maybe not in the introduction. I think it is actually coming up, but he gave a moshul of a guy that went to the mountain in the distance to try and connect it to God, and the guy said, and he said, well, I believe in God, I've come here to get money. And the guy said, well, if you really believe in God, why have you traveled all the way here to get money? If you really believe in God, God can give you money in your hometown. Okay, we'll leave it here, and so next week.
That's the Yeshua Hashem Be Matzo. In other words, we know the existence of God. If it's Beit HaMikdash,
it's Hashem.
We know we're here, the Sefer Torah is out, we're all now silent, we're all there, and it says, Dirshu Hashem B'Matzor. He's here, that's not enough. We work out more why he's here. In other words, that's what I've been trying to say, and I kept it because it's been leading to exactly what you said on a separate channel, but it's the same frequency, it's there. Dirshu, you know, you just can't say he's here. The whole part of it is, keep on. I mean, that's R&D, research, and it's true.